Good morning. It's a privilege to be with you guys. Hello, Nacho. Good to see you and your wife. And to be able to visit Roseburg. Last time I visited Roseburg Seventh Adventist Church, I was serving as a Bible worker at Patterson, California. And you want to hear another interesting fact? I was single. Hallelujah, those days are over. Now I received a call last September to serve in the Literature Ministries Department of Southern California Conference, which much prayer and fasting, I accepted. And I say it like that because I'm a country boy at heart. So it's a little harder than move to LA. But I got married with Lisa last December, so I think we're at 124 days today. And we're excited to be able to serve God now together, and it's exciting to be here with you guys. Thank you so much for extending an invitation and allowing me to be here with you guys for this week of prayer in our conclusion this morning. So what exactly have we been looking at this whole week? What is the theme of the week? Lord, use me. And today's message, none other will fit that category as well. And this message is called How God Uses What Kind of People? Ordinary people like us. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into the message. Father in heaven, we desire to get a glimpse of you this morning. I pray that you may please reveal yourself in the ways that you want to use us to spread our beautiful message. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a story that I heard that really impressed and encouraged my heart. It was of a man who lived out in Europe, and during this time he was holding a series of meetings in London. The people knew him as the Prince or the People's Preacher. Do you know who that is? Charles Spurgeon. And while he was holding a series of meetings in London, he received a Facebook message, a telegram. He received a telegram, and it was from a really well-known company in America. This is what the telegram said. Mr. Spurgeon, we've heard of you and your reputation exceeds your presence. We've heard of how you have the ability to talk to hundreds and thousands of people and to captivate their attention and persuade them to make decisions. We understand that you're a Christian man, but we want to extend an offer and offer you $50,000 to come to America and to be able to talk to our businessmen on how we can also capture the attention of our audience. Do you believe that this business was trying to proselytize? What were they trying to do? They were trying to sell something, and they knew that this brother had something going on. Charles Spurgeon didn't think about it too long, and he responded to the telegram. This is what he replied. I am honored and privileged, and I thank you for thinking of me and offering what you offer. But I must decline. Because in the time that I would waste in going to America, I would be able to win 50 more souls for the kingdom of heaven. And for me, 50 souls surpass the amount of those $50,000 that you're trying to offer me. If you put the 50 grand in the late 1800s, it amounts to about almost $1.5 million today that they offered him, to which he declined. My question this morning, friends, is simple. What is a soul worth for us personally today? In fact, even amongst our own ranks at Seventh-day Adventist, C.D. Brooks, who died just a couple years ago, story goes back, friends, of him being in a hospital bed. And while this great preacher was giving his last breaths, there was a relative nearby in the room to which he clenched his arm and whispered the following into his ears, "Bring me one more soul." Just one more person. Bring me a doctor. Bring me a nurse. Bring me someone that I may be able to share the good news of Jesus in his soon return. He was breathing his last, but he was consumed with the thought of sharing Jesus with just one more soul. You see, friends, when we think of Charles Spurgeon, and when we think of the great C.D. Brooks, we might be tempted to think one thing, and this is the following. Well, that's the Prince of Preachers. It's C.D. Brooks, for crying out loud. I don't match up to them. I don't have the experience that they had. I don't have the gift set that they had. I don't have eloquent words to share with the people, and I surely can't grab a microphone and get in front of folks to share the message. I have good news for you this morning. God is in the business of using ordinary people. In fact, most times, and you can see this through the Bible, he would rather use an ordinary person. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29, reads the following. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. "For ye see your calling, brethren, that how that not many," what kind of men? "Wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that no flesh should glory in his presence." This verse is letting us know that God would actually prefer to use the foolish according to the world's eyes instead of those of eloquent words. Why is it, friends, that God would rather use an ordinary person? Why is it? Not jaded? Anybody else? Why would he rather use an ordinary person? So he can show his glory. It's found within the verse, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, when God uses an ordinary person, just like you and I, we don't have room to boast about the great things that I have done, but we have room to boast about the great things that God has done. When I think about the privilege that I have had to lead people in Bible studies, to knock on doors, to lead others into the watery grave of baptism, I am reminded that not that long ago, I was sitting in Fresno County Jail, looking outside of a bar, barred window, thinking that my life was completely over. I was a drug addict, an alcoholic. I've been selling drugs for 10 years. And God saved me out of that place, and now I am able to share the good news, not because of some royal birth that I had. In fact, I was a product of a single-parent home with four kids, mom never knowing how she was going to pay the bills. Not because of great eloquent words that I had. In fact, English is my second language. Not because of great training that I had. In fact, I still haven't made it to the seminary. But the Holy Spirit is no respecter of man, training, or education. If you want to be used by God, he will use you. Do we want to be used by God? That's the question. I heard absolutely. He will use you. He would rather use the foolish. Are we ready to say that we are foolish? Are we ready to admit that we really don't have anything to offer God? When we get to that point, friends, it gives God an opportunity to use you and to bring all the glory to himself. So how in the world can God use someone like me? I'm going to introduce you to a ministry called GLOW. What's it called? GLOW. What I don't want to happen is for the message to be over and for you to think that I said that this is the only ministry to share the message. I am sharing with you a branch of the ministry to share the message. Does that make sense, friends? So is this the only way that we can do things? Absolutely not, but I found this to be a very effective way to share the message, and it's called GLOW. GLOW is an acronym for giving light to our world. They are little pamphlets like the one I'm holding in my hand, and they share the message on different subjects such as peace, such as physical health, the health message. They also share subjects such as the Sabbath, state of the dead, the second coming. They are little pamphlets that you can get to be able to share the message no matter what your skill set is. In fact, these just came out. This one's called Breaking Addictions. Is Breaking Addictions a relative topic? Absolutely. And I know that Oregon, it rains a whole lot, and they just now came out with waterproof tracks. I remember I was swimming in the river one day, and I had a couple of GLOW tracks, and this lady's sandal came off her foot, and it was floating right through me, so I swung over, I grabbed it, and I saved her chancla. And I was able to get her sandal back to her. And in my pocket, I took out a track because I knew I had it. I gave it to her, but it wasn't waterproof. So I told her to just let it dry. But these are waterproof. In fact, they're really hard to tear because they're made out of plastic instead of paper. They just came out with the waterproof. We're still working on fireproof, but quite haven't figured that out. Even though there is a fun story that came out of the Philippines where there was a man that was glowing. Glowing is an act of passing out literature. That's what we call it, glowing. There was a man who was glowing an area in the Philippines, and when he was making his round to come back around, he noticed there was a group of people all standing in a circle. So he walked over there to see what in the world this fuss was about, and there was a man who had a GLOW track in his lighter, and it was a GLOW track that talked about the Sabbath, the biblical Sabbath. And he was trying to burn it, and all the people were amazed, saying, "Why isn't that burning?" And when this missionary looked over and he saw this man trying to burn the track, he said, "Hey, if you guys are surprised by that, you should come to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're holding a group of meetings and you'll really like what's going on there." Guess who ended up going? All of the men. Even though that was not a fireproof track, I really think that was just the Holy Spirit. Amen? What I really enjoy about GLOW tracks, friends, is you're not only sharing the message on different relevant Bible topics, but if you turn it to the back, there's actually a phone number and an email where you can connect them to the local Seventh-day Adventist Church and even connect them with the local pastor for personal Bible studies. It is awesome. In fact, I'm already nudging Pastor Tony's ear that he must bring GLOW to this church. How many of us say amen? All right. Can we raise your hand if we want to bring GLOW to the church? Pastor Tony, you've seen all of his hands, okay? Amen. GLOW is allowing us to fulfill God's commission as a people. In fact, friends, look at what Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says. Matthew 24, verse 14 reads the following, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto how many nations, friends? All nations, and then shall the end come." Do you believe that Jesus wants to come back, friends? What needs to happen in order to make that a reality? Preach the gospel in all the world. Literature allows us to do just that. It allows us to preach the gospel even though I'm not a C.D. Brooks, even though I'm not a Charles Spurgeon, even though I'm not an Alejandro Bullon for my Hispanics here, or a Doug Batchelor for my Caucasians here. It allows you to be able to share God's end time message no matter what your skill set is. In fact, friends, when we think about Martin Luther, what was it that went around in just 2 short weeks in all of Europe? The 95 Theses. And what was the 95 Theses written on? Not the topics, literally, what was it written on? Paper! It was paper that he nailed on front of those church doors, and it was paper that was taken, that was reproduced, and that spread like wildfire. In 2 weeks, he turned Europe upside down. I still believe that paper can have that effect. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about God's literature. In fact, how did God decide to reveal himself to us in our day? Can someone tell me? I heard it over here. The Bible. Think about it. God could have used whatever way he saw fit, and he decided to use the Bible. Last time I checked, 99.9% of the Bibles were written on paper. Right now we have a little thing going on with our fingers, and now you can get your Bible on your app. But hey, phones die. The Word of God continues to live, right? God is still revealing himself through the power of literature today. And I know what some people are thinking. Some are hearing this afternoon and thinking to myself, well, Mark, you don't understand me. You don't know me. I am an introvert. Do we know what an introvert is here? Do they recharge in big groups of people, or do they recharge by themselves? By themselves. Do they like talking to a whole bunch of strange people, or would they rather talk to those whom they are close to? Close to. All my introverts are smiling right now. So how do you want me to pass out literature if I am an introvert? Friends, I have good news for you this morning. There are 3 different levels to glowing that I will go over with you. And level one starts with the word what? Give. Now, the beautiful thing about glowing, passing out literature or signs of the times like we have at this church, is the fact that you can leave these pieces of literature and you don't ever have to talk to a single soul. How many of you guys like that thought? Spread the gospel. Don't get out of my comfort zone. Don't talk to anybody I don't know. I just received a phone call in the conference office in Southern California. This lady said that she got off her bus stop. She found a piece of glow track on a bus bench. So she read it. She was impressed by it. She put it down. She got back on the bus. She went down the street, got off to go to work. On the bus bench, she found another piece of literature. So she picked it up. It was another glow track. But this time she was impressed to call the number on the back. She calls the number on the back. She talks to me. We hook her up with more literature. She signs up for personal Bible studies, and she's now connected to a Seventh-day Adventist church. The person who left that track on that bench will never know what that piece of literature meant for someone else. That's the thing about glowing. You don't have to talk to anybody, friends. In fact, even who here pumps gas? Can I see a hand? If you're not raising your hand, then you must be walking. Oh my, this one is not effective. Yes, it is. In California, what we like to do is we grab a track and we put it on the gas pump handle. In Oregon, what you can do, what I see Pastor Tony doing all the time when I'm here, is you say thank you to the gentleman who just pumped your gas and you hand him a glow track. You don't even know how to preach. That's the thing with literature, friends. You let the literature preach for you. How many of you guys like that? How many of you guys would have liked if I came up and said, all right, today's sermon, let's have a prayer. We just pass out literature, says, let's read it, and I'll get back to you in 10 minutes so we can have the closing prayer, right? It preaches for you. And the preacher can go into places that you cannot go. In fact, Mr. Crick was one of my mentors out in Fresno, California. He went to pump gas, and in California, you actually do got to get your behind out of the car to go pump gas. And he was in there pumping gas, and what ended up happening was he saw that this big old SUV came and parked right behind him at the gas pump. So he turned around and he sees this woman that comes out of the truck, and she looked very affluent. He felt impressed to give her a glow track, but thought to himself, she looks super affluent. She may not need the gospel. She may reject it. I'm sorry. She may reject the gospel tract. Friends, don't ever judge a book by its cover. Amen? So here he is. He's stuck in between. He's like, do I give her the track? Do I not? He said, you know what? I'm going to give her the track, but I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to grab the glow track. I'm going to walk up. I'm going to hand it to her, and I'm going to just walk right away. How many of you guys have ever done that? He gives her the glow track. He turns around to walk away, and she stops him. Hey, excuse me. Turns around. What is this? Oh, it's a Christian track. What church do you go to? I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. What location do you attend? The one that's right around the corner on Shaw. I grew up in that church. It's been years since I've been to that church. I can't believe that you attend the church that I grew up in. He said, you wouldn't believe it. We're holding a series of Bible seminars, and I want to invite you. You can sit with my wife and I. She attends the whole seminar. At the end of the seminar, she gets baptized. From the very pews where she sat as a little girl, because someone decided to glow. In fact, friends, you can even take them. Method number two, where you don't need to talk to anybody but still spread God's three angels message, is restaurant tips. What I really enjoy about restaurant tips is when you put glow with the tip, it actually makes your tip look bigger. So you put it with the tip and you leave it right on the table. You never have to speak to a single soul. In fact, I had a friend who did this at Old Spaghetti Factory, but the waitress was able to pick up the tip before she was able to leave. She stops her. And it was a glow track called Where Is God When I'm Hurting. She's holding the track. She said, did you put this down? She said, yes, I did. She said, a year ago today, my friend was killed in a drive-by shooting, and I saw this track, and I couldn't help but think it was God speaking to me. She started to cry in front of her. Spreading God's truth without being a Charles Spurgeon. The whole point of this message, friends, is that you don't need to have a special skill set to share the message. If you want the Lord to use you, He will. He will. Method number three is the mail. How many of you guys have ever received a credit card offer in the mail? Credit card offers. I usually burn them before I open them. But then I've had a friend who shared with me this method. When you receive a credit card offer, they are so eager to get your information that they even send a second envelope within the envelope. And guess what that second envelope entails? Prepaid postage. You could glow from your kitchen, from your kitchen or your living room. You grab the prepaid postage, you fill it up with a few different topics, and you put it right back in the mail. Someone called in asking for personal Bible studies who worked at one of those centers, saying, I found these tracts at work. Amen? Hotel rooms. By the way, we're still on level one. We still got level two and level three to go. But in hotel rooms, whenever you go stay at a hotel, please leave a track behind so that whoever either A, stays in the room after you, or B, who cleans up the room after you, will have the opportunity to hear the message. There was this man who decided to do this. They were at a church convention. He left a couple of tracks on the Sabbath and on the cross on his counter. He heard a light knock the next morning on his door, and he thought to himself, I didn't order any room service. Well, the man opens the door. There was a cleaning lady behind the door who said, sir, I'm so sorry to disturb you. Otherwise, I would not ever do this, but did you leave this track? ¿Por qué voy a la iglesia el sábado? Why do I go to church on Saturday? He said, yes, I left this track. And then she ended up telling the story how her and her husband had came across a theme. They didn't know what to do about it, but she read it. She was convicted that was God speaking to her. She called the number in the back, and she started personal Bible studies. God is good. Amen? That was level one for those of you who don't like to talk to people. Raise your hand if you like to talk to strangers, people, smiley faces, and all that other good stuff. I know Tina's both hands went up. We got it back over there. All right, amen. This is for you guys. This is level two, and level two is greet. Level two is what, friends? Greet. In fact, there was this young lady who heard about and learned about glow in Arizona, decided to carry glow with her, so she put him in her pocket, got on the school bus. She was heading on her way to school, and she saw this young man get on the bus stop after her. She saw this young man. He didn't look too happy, but she was impressed that she needed to give him a track. She started to fight with God, saying, no, I don't want to give him a track. La. Have you guys ever done that before? I don't want to do this, God. This is too uncomfortable. As the man was getting out of the bus, she decided to just reach in her pocket and just give him a glow track. It was a track called Where Is God When I'm Hurting. When that man received the glow track, he looked it over. His eyes almost came out of his face, and he said, I was just contemplating suicide today, and I bade God to give me a sign, and I believe he's speaking to me. Glowing can even save a life. Sharing hope to a hopeless world. We are bombarded with bad news. You don't even have to leave your front door anymore. You just got to open your phone to CNN or Fox. Why not be an element in this world where God can use us to shed light on a dark world? Grocery store. I never go to a grocery store, you can ask my wife about this, without making sure to give the cashier or anyone that helps me, in fact, a piece of literature. You know why? They're taking your money. They won't reject your literature. Right? There was a man who didn't want to talk to anybody. He was at Walmart. So he decided to leave some glow tracks in the shopping cart right before he returned the shopping cart. So he returns the shopping cart, puts a couple of tracks in there, gets in his car and leaves. Well, Rufy ended up going to Walmart that day. Rufy ended up grabbing the shopping cart that man had left. And when Rufy started walking towards Walmart, he noticed that there was trash in his shopping cart. So he picked it up to throw it away, but there was a specific track that caught his attention titled A Day to Remember. A Day to Remember. He looks at the track, he opens it up, and he starts to read it, and he starts to learn about the biblical Sabbath. He thinks to himself that this has to be a crazy coincidence because his son just went to a vacation Bible school just days earlier, and he came back asking his parents why they don't keep the Sabbath holy. Rufy didn't know. He never heard anything about that, but he said, honey, we need to start praying because our son is asking us questions about the Bible. They started to pray and asking God, Lord, if this is of you, if we should be keeping the Sabbath holy, please give me a sign. 3 days later, he finds a track in a Walmart shopping cart. Calls the number in the back, receives Bible studies. Wow. Is God good? He uses our feeble efforts. Have you guys ever been through a drive-thru? Don't be lying now. At a drive-thru, super awesome. My wife, her and I went through a drive-thru, and when they gave us our food, she gave them a tract. And the man looked at her and said, is this a glow tract? My wife said, yes, it is. He said, I used to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Whenever you go through a drive-thru, friends, carry glow with you so that you can share it with whomever and wherever. Scatter your seed, friends, in the morning and see if you will not reap a rich harvest in the evening. Co-workers at work, we can do that as well. People you work with, people you associate yourself with, share literature wherever you go, friends. Don't be afraid to be rejected. If you think about it, friends, who was the person that was ultimately rejected? It was Jesus Christ. It's small peas compared to what he went through. Level three is, this is the last level we're covering this morning, go. Go. So our first level was give. Our second level was greet. Our third level is go. This is where you find a large gathering. I don't know if there's any large gatherings near Roseburg. Is there? Yeah? Okay, we got some gatherings at Roseburg. Right, Walmart maybe. This is where you find a large group of people and you take tracts with you to be able to distribute them. In Los Angeles, we have a thing called the Rose Parade, the Rose Bowl Parade. What ended up happening was this lady ended up receiving a glow tract on Daniel chapter 2 when she was at the Rose Bowl Parade. And she called the number in the back. She said that she was enthralled and amazed by the Bible prophecy of Daniel chapter 2. And she ordered 800 more tracts so that she herself can spread the message. Mind you, she wasn't Seventh-day Adventist. In fact, a lot of my classmates, when we were in Prescott, Arizona, decided to go to the downtown area on Halloween. We wanted to share the message. And in Prescott, you can ride in the back of the truck. So you can't do that in California. Can you do that in Oregon? Maybe. Pastor says maybe. So one of my friends jumped in the truck, and a bunch of classmates jumped on the back of the pickup. And then we went down to the little block party that they were having for Halloween. And we started distributing tracts on spiritualism, right? Fit the title to the event. Amen? And so we started distributing tracts on spiritualism, and we were so surprised when a giant banana started running towards us. And he wasn't slipping. This giant banana ran towards us and says, "Are you guys the ones that are spreading this? And we said, "Yes." He said, "Can I have some? Because I want to spread this too." So this giant banana, I mean, we didn't give him a couple. We gave him a whole pack of 100. Turned around, and he took off back into the crowd, and this giant banana was now distributing glow. This man wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist. Friends, there are people that read the message that we have and are prickled at the heart so much that they want to join in the movement of sharing this message. How much more should our hearts be prickled by the message that we have? Large gatherings, as I mentioned, and even laundromats. We encourage a church member, if you live near a laundromat, sponsor that laundromat. What do I mean? When you go do laundry, have you guys ever been to a laundromat? It is absolutely what? Boring, thank you. It is so boring that you read up every single piece of paper that's on the walls, and it's so boring that you just sit there and you read all these nonsense magazines and all this stuff to try to make time pass fast. So what we recommend is you choose a laundromat that's near your home, you visit it once a week, and you leave glows, pieces of literature, at a center location so the people that are coming in are able to be able to pick up a track while they do laundry and read something helpful, something productive. In fact, there was a man who was doing this, but he started getting really upset because he found out every single time he went to the laundromat, the glow would be missing. He even bought a glow rack for this laundromat. So it was very nicely put, but it was always missing. So he said to himself, "I'm going to catch the crook. I'm going to go to the laundromat. I'm going to sit there every single day, and I'm going to pray that God allows me to catch the thief." He said, "It must be those Jehovah's Witnesses." So he goes, and every day he starts just sitting there. If he has something better to do, I don't know. Don't ask me that. But he was determined. One day, he noticed there was a man dressed in blue with a bag. And he came in there. And when he came in there, he didn't have any laundry. So immediately this church member became suspicious. This man walked up to the glow rack, started to empty the glow rack in his bag. He turns around and walks away. "I caught him. That's the man." So the church member gets up. He goes, "Excuse me, sir, excuse me. What are you doing with that, with the glow?" The man turns around, and he noticed that there was an eagle on his bag. He said, "I come in here to deliver mail. I picked up one of those tracts one day. I was so impressed by the message that every single time I leave a piece of mail at all the residences, I make sure to leave a track." Praise the Lord! He wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm going to keep reminding you. These people were not Adventists, yet they had a burden to share the message that they were finding. Wow. Parking lots. Whenever you go to the store and you're walking away, we always recommend leaving a glow track. If you don't like seeing people face to face, just leave a glow track on the driver door handle. Fold it in half and leave it in the driver door what? Handle. But don't spend too much time at that handle. Don't spend too much time at that handle because then it starts looking fishy. Have you guys heard about Youth Rush? Raise your hand if you're 16, between 16 to 30s. Raise your hand between 16 and 30s. Amen. Amen. I'll talk to you after. Youth Rush is a ministry where we train coal porters on how to be literature evangelists. You see young people from all different backgrounds that dedicate a whole summer to being literature evangelists. My wife and I will be leading a team in Los Angeles. So if you're between 16 and 30 and this kind of gets your attention, if you feel that this is something that you want to be doing, please come speak to me during Pollock and I'll give you more information. There was a lady I met knocking on doors who rejected the living lights out of me and called me a bunch of names that I don't think my wife will ever call me. Right, Mike? Right, babe? Amen. And I turned around and I started walking away. When I started walking away, all I said was, God bless you, ma'am. And I, you know, went on my way. And when she heard me say that, something happened because she then said, asked the following. She said, excuse me, young man, is this about God? And I tried to tell her yes, but she wouldn't let me talk. She then started sharing. This happened in the Youth Rush program. How her life was falling apart and she needed Jesus' help. Before I can even offer anything now, she said, can you have a pastor visit me? I mean, that is music to the ears of the literature evangelist. I said, of course. Pastor visited 6 months later, not just her, but her whole family were going through, were already finished with Bible studies, now going through an evangelistic series, getting ready for baptism. Youth Rush is sparking fire amongst all our young people in our conferences. I want to invite you to come talk to me if that's something you want to do. So how exactly do we get started with glowing and being literature evangelists? How exactly do we make this practical? First and foremost, we need to choose a central location, okay? Oh, let me take it back. Pastor already said that he's going to bring glow to the church. So as soon as it gets here, we're going to run through all the signs of the times that you guys have. We still have some literature here, so don't be in disarray. But we're going to choose a central location to carry it. Why do you think that's important? So you know where it's at, and you know, and you don't forget to carry it around. The second thing is you want to make sure you carry it in your pocket, because what good is it if a man needs glow if it's back at home? So you carry it in your pocket. And I think this is one of the most important steps on how to be used of God is you pray for opportunities. And I believe that the God that we serve will take you to the right person at the right place. Or better yet, will bring that person in between your paths. And the last one, friends, is a way where you stay connected. Pastor didn't know I was going to do this. Hopefully I'm invited back. But this is probably the only sermon you'll ever hear me say this. I want you to take your phones out, your cell phones, in the middle of church service. And I want you to either text that number that you see right there, 626-600-8355. Text it right now. I'll give you guys 60 seconds. I want you to text your name, your address, and your email address. And what this will do is it will sign you up to receive powerful testimonies, like the ones that you just heard. Every single Friday, you'll receive a powerful testimony of someone that was reached through the means of literature. 45 seconds. If you cannot do that in 45 seconds, just write down the number and text me immediately after church service. Text that number, please. The number is 626-600-8355. Name, address, and email address. And I want you to stay connected because God is doing some marvelous things. But how are we ever going to know what God is doing if we're not being connected? You will receive a testimony every Friday in your email or a newsletter by mail, completely free. You'll receive a testimony of what God is doing to reach the world through literature. Was this message practical? Yes? Was it simple? Do you believe that you can be used by the Lord through the week now? We're not going to let you leave empty-handed. In fact, the deacons, when we are leaving out of the church today, are going to be giving each of you guys a little starter set. The starter set consists of three different tracts that you can carry with you in your pocket or in your purse. And when you go to the grocery store, when you go pump gas, when you go to the bank, when you go on the walk, when you go to the park, or whatever, wherever you go, where you will have the opportunity to put into practice what we just learned today. Amen? Can you guys handle just one last testimony? Are you guys okay with that? Just one last testimony? There was a pastor and a Bible worker who were making their rounds and visiting the people that they were studying the Bible with. This pastor and Bible worker went to go visit a dear old saint. And when they knocked on that door, it was the mother whom they were studying the Bible with answers the door, and she was frantic at the door. It looked like she just seen a ghost when she'd see the pastor, and she started screaming to the pastor, "Come in! Thank God that you're here. Come in. My son wants to kill himself, and I don't know what to do." So the pastor and the Bible worker step inside of the house as the mother starts leading them to her son. They go to the backyard where they see a young man holding a knife sitting there. They start to try to talk to this young man, but it was almost as if they were speaking to a wall. The young man said, "I don't want to hear none of the religious things you guys have to say. It works with my mom, but not with me. I don't care about God, and I almost believe that he doesn't care about me. And that's why I'm in the place that I'm at. I don't want to live anymore." The Bible worker and the pastor started praying mentally, asking for God to give them wisdom on how they can share hope with this young man. It was then and there that the Bible worker was impressed to just give the man a piece of literature. He reached in his pockets and he takes out a glow track and just hands it to the young man. The young man takes the glow track, and the frown turned into a smile. He's sitting there looking at this glow track and then back up at the pastor, almost in disbelief. So the Bible worker asks, "What is it about the piece of literature that makes you smile?" By this time, the young man had dropped the knife, and he was holding up the glow track, and he started to share his testimony. He tells him, "3 days ago, I hit a point in my life that I didn't want to live anymore. I went to the grocery store, and when I was walking out of the grocery store, there was a woman who was walking in. She didn't say anything to me. She just handed me something. I reached out instinctively, and when I saw the track, it said, 'Where is God when I'm hurting?' I chuckled at the fact that this religious woman would approach me, and I threw the track in the garbage. The next day, I'm out and about, and I go to the mall. And when I come out of the mall, I go to my car, and at my car, I see a glow track in my handle, a little Bible track in my handle, my car handle. So I take it out, and I open it up, and it reads, 'Where is God when I'm hurting?' At that point, I lost it, and I looked up to heaven. And I said, 'God, I want you to know that I don't care about you. Why do you keep making these pieces of garbage appear everywhere I go? If you're really big and in control, and if you really care about someone like me, I'll put you to the test, God. I'll put you to the test. I will listen to you. If I get the same piece of literature 3 days in a row.' That was the third day. pastor and a Bible worker visited. It was the third day that out of all the tracts the Bible worker could have been carrying, he takes out, "Where is God when I'm hurting?" That melted the heart of that young man. In fact, it melted it so much that he started studying the Bible with his mom and the pastor. In fact, when the mom was baptized, just like you saw some baptisms today, guess who was in the waters with her? Her son. The church sponsored her son because of his zeal for Jesus, from the way that he would work a miracle just for him. He went to Amazing Facts College of Evangelism, AFCO, in Sacramento. He went through the four-month program and then became a Bible worker and started being a soul winner for Jesus Christ. You know what started that flame, friends? It wasn't a sermon on the pulpit. It wasn't an evangelistic series that came to town. It wasn't an invitation to the church in the mail. What started that flame was a faithful church member who probably couldn't preach, who probably couldn't organize an outreach, who probably didn't like speaking to people, but decided to take a piece of literature wherever she went. That person would never know what that glow track meant. But Jesus knows. And when she's walking the streets of gold, she's going to see that young man right there, including the rest of the seeds that now he has sown up to this point. You want to be a soul winner, friends? Do you want to allow God to use you? He can use ordinary people like you and me. Would you stand with me if you want to tell Jesus, "I want to be a soul winner. I want the Lord to use me. In fact, these three pieces of literature that I'm about to receive today, I'm going to find creative ways of how to get out of my home so that I can share the gospel with others, even if I don't see the results. I don't care about results. I just care about being faithful. I don't care about seeing people getting baptized. I just care about being faithful. And I'll allow the results to be with our Lord." Friends, I want to be used too. You standing, I'm standing with you. I want Jesus to come back soon. I really do. This week we concluded a week of prayer. And this week of prayer was titled, "Lord, Use Me." In fact, you saw a couple of the fruit of the week of prayer and of last week of prayer in baptism today. Were you guys encouraged by that, friends? How beautiful! There is rejoicing in heaven for those who have made decisions today. But this is my last day in Roseburg. And I dare not leave the pulpit without making my last appeal. My last appeal is, if there is someone who wants to join the watery grave in the near future, you may not be ready today, and that's okay. But if there is someone who knows deep down in their heart that before the Lord can use me, I must surrender my heart to Jesus. I must give my heart totally over to the Lord so that God can start to use me. Is there anybody, friends? Is there anybody who would like to say, "I either want to be baptized for the first time, or I would like to be rebaptized because I know in my heart that I have forsaken God at some point in my journey and I never made my commitment again to Jesus"? Is there anybody, friends? People have been making decisions all this week. There are people that are making decisions to give their hearts totally and wholeheartedly to Jesus. And as I leave the pulpit for the last time here in Roseburg, I dare not leave without making that appeal to you. Is there anyone who would like to say, "I want to give my heart over to Jesus completely. I am tired of living for myself. It's not working. I am tired of living a half-Christian life where I show up to church on Saturday morning, but that's all of my experience." You know, friends, if you're a once-a-week quit Christian, I heard a preacher say that you're a weak Christian. Is there anybody here who would like to take this opportunity to make a public declaration saying, Jesus, I would like to be baptized or re-baptized in the near future? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God gives us to make decisions. I don't want to rob anybody. There have been several decisions made throughout this week. But is there anybody else? Is there one more soul who wants to say, I want to start preparing for baptism in the near future, whether that's Bible studies, whether that's a meeting with the pastor? Don't be embarrassed to make decisions for Jesus, friends. Imagine if Jesus was embarrassed at Calvary. You get baptized with a robe covering you from neck to heel. Jesus was baptized with death naked. He wasn't embarrassed for you, friends. Don't be embarrassed for Jesus. Don't worry about who's sitting next to you. Don't worry even if it's a family member or someone close to you. Your decision to be rebaptized or baptized may be the example that that person needs to follow the Lamb wherever the Lamb goes. Is there anybody, friends, as I close with prayer, that would like to take this opportunity to say, I want to be baptized or re-baptized in the near future? Is there one person? Please come up to the front. Praise the Lord. Praise God, Rosa. That is so precious. How many of us say amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God for your decision. Praise the Lord. Praise God for your decision. Praise the Lord. There is singing up in heaven, singing that we have never heard. Is there anybody else, friends? This is my last appeal before I leave. I want to make sure that you have the opportunity. Praise God, sweetie. I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to proclaim Jesus in a public way this morning. Is there anybody else? When I gave my heart to Jesus, friends, it was the best decision that I've ever made in my entire life. That was 2012. It's been 6 years. I was strung out on drugs. I was hopeless. God has changed my life in a way that I can't even start to explain to you. Only those who knew me back then will know the power that God has. And He wants to extend that power over your life, friends. He wants to use you. He wants to be with you. But before He can do that, He wants to be the Lord of your hearts. Is there anybody else before I close with prayer that would like to make a decision and follow these saints up here in saying, I want to surrender my life to Jesus in the near future through baptism or re-baptism? Is there anybody else, friends? If you feel impressed that you need to be here, don't fight the Holy Spirit. I fought Him a long time, and I ended up losing every single time. I would have saved so much pain and heartache if I would have just surrendered my life to Jesus. Maybe you think to yourself that you're not ready for baptism because you're not perfect. Let me tell you something, friends. If you wait to be perfect to be ready for baptism, the only time you'll ever be getting wet is when you take showers. It won't be in the baptismal pool. Baptism is a symbol of surrender. It's a symbol that you're going to allow Jesus into your heart wholeheartedly to use you for whatever it is that He sees for you. I'm closing in 30 seconds. Is there one more soul who wants to join these precious souls up here in saying, I want to surrender my life completely in the near future through baptism or re-baptism? If you feel impressed to come up here, I want to invite you to still come up as Pastor Tony closes with prayer. If you feel impressed that you need to be up here, remember, all the preacher has is words and the words of God. But I don't have the power to tug on your heart. If you feel an impression in your heart that you need to be up here, it's not me, friends. It's the Holy Spirit that is calling you. So please come up, even as Pastor Tony prays, if you feel impressed that you need to be up here.
Loving Father, we thank you because you're preparing a place for us as we speak. You want us to be with you for eternity. You sent your Son to die for each and every one of us. You have paid the price for your children. But the question today is that is posed is whether or not we want you to be our God, whether we want you to be our Lord and Savior. And so, Father, we move forward by faith. I praise you for those who have made their decision to give their lives to you, for those who have made a decision to be baptized or rebaptized in the near future. But I also pray for those who are wrestling with this decision. May they stop wrestling and surrender willingly, for in you they find fullness of joy. I ask that you'll help us as we move forward by faith to glow wherever we may go, even if it's just little old me. Use us for your glory to shine in Roseburg today, and that way we all can be ready for Christ's return. Bless us, O Lord. Bless Marco and Lisa. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are finishing church service here. I just want to have a gently reminder that at 1:30 p.m., we're going to be meeting here in the sanctuary. We're going to have a short training on how to put this into practice today. And we're gonna do a little outreach here in Roseburg. I wanna invite all of you at 1:30 p.m. to be here for that event.
Let his glory be seen.
Distant land, and his glory was so grand. I cried, O Lord, how I long to be there. Then I heard a gentle voice, come, my child, it is your choice. Oh, such hope that I've never heard before. Oh, arise, let us run. For the morning light has come, and the darkness of the night flies away. He has risen, he has come, and our hope he has won. Let his glory be seen on you today. Then the way grew dark with care. My heart trembled in despair. I turned my eyes to the Lord with a prayer. Through the dimness of the dawn, deeper truth than I was drawn. Oh, such hope, even brighter than before. Oh, arise, let us run. For the morning light has come, and the darkness of the night flies away. He has risen, he has come, and our home he has won. Let his glory be seen on you today. There a lonely soul I saw, standing near but yet withdrawn. I bade him come to the land bright and fair, with hope's glimmer in his eye. To the darkness said goodbye. Then we sang a note higher than before. Oh, arise, let us run, for the morning light has has come, and the darkness of the night flies away. He has risen, he has come, and I hope he has won. Let his glory be seen on you today.
And God's people said,
Amen.
May the Lord bless us.